Pull up a chair. You hear that? That flat, snappy little bark of a lie coming out on the arrival, followed by another one just like it, and another behind that? Walk the rows here at Whitman Field this week, and you'll lose count. Rows and rows of low-wing airplanes with bubble canopies sitting wingtip to wingtip in the home-built camping area, tents pitched underneath them, coffee going on the wing walk, same basic silhouette, 1,000 different paint schemes. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tail Dragger, and this is the hangar. And today I want to tell you about the fellow who drew that silhouette, a quiet engineer from Oregon named Richard Van Grunsven, and the little airplane that carries his initials, RV. The airplane, so many of us learned that home building wasn't just for the daredevils and the geniuses, it was for us. Now, before I get rolling, let me tell you who's keeping the lights on today. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it, and I'll tell you, if there's ever an airplane that earns you a coin for finishing it, it's a home built. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So, let me set the scene. It's the early 1960s. Dick Van Grunsven is a young man in Oregon, grew up on a farm, served in the Air Force, came home with an engineering mind and an itch that a lot of us know well. He wanted to fly, and he didn't have airline money to do it, so he did what a certain kind of pilot has always done. He looked at what he could buy, and he looked at what he could build, and he started tinkering. The airplane he started with wasn't his own design. It was a Stitz Playboy, a little single-seat home-built from Ray Stitz. High wing, honest airplane, flew just fine. Dick bought one. And here's the thing about Dick Van Grunsven that tells you everything. He flew it, and he thought, this is good, but it could be better. Most of us would have left it alone. Dick pulled the high wing off it.
He redesigned that airplane with a low wing. A thinner, cleaner airfoil. He cleaned up the drag, hung a bigger engine on the nose eventually, and turned that docile little playboy into something that climbed like a scared cat and rolled like a fighter. He called it the RV-1 RV, for his own initials, though he was too modest to ever make a big deal about that. Folks just started calling them Van's airplanes, and the name stuck. Now here's where it gets interesting. Dick could have kept that airplane to himself. A one-off, a personal hot rod. Plenty of home builders do exactly that, and there's no shame in it. But he had this idea, and it was almost a stubborn idea, that the average pilot, the guy with a job and a family and a two-car garage, deserved an airplane that did everything well. Not a racer that couldn't land short, not a bush plane that couldn't get out of its own way. Something that climbed, cruised, rolled, landed slow, and didn't cost a fortune to feed. He had a phrase for it, two words, total performance, and out of the RV-1 came the RV-3. A single-seat, low-wing, all-metal airplane you built yourself from plans. Aluminum, riveted, honest, first one flew in 1972, and it did the thing. It really did the thing. It would true out fast on a small engine, sip fuel doing it, climb like nobody's business, and then come back and land on a short strip without scaring you. Aerobatic if you wanted, cross-country if you needed. A pilot's airplane, drawn by a pilot, for pilots. Let me stop and give you the smell of this, because this is a hangar story and I want you in the hangar. Building an all-metal airplane in your garage means one thing above all others. Rivets, thousands upon thousands of them. Picture a two-car garage in Oregon, or Ohio, or wherever you are. There's a workbench down one side, a set of plans held down with coffee mugs. There's the smell of cutting oil and aluminum. This clean metallic tang that gets in your nose and doesn't leave. There's a coffee can full of Klekos, those little spring clips that hold your skins together before you rivet them. And there's the sound.
Anybody who's built one of these knows the sound. It's the rivet gun. That bap, 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 bap against a bucking bar, and it takes two people. One inside the wing or the fuselage holding the bar, one outside running the gun, and you learn to talk to each other through the aluminum with taps and grunts because you can't hear a blessed word over the noise. Husbands and wives built these airplanes, fathers and kids. Whole friendships got forged in the belly of an RV wing. One rivet at a time, over years of Saturday mornings. That's the world Dick Van Grunsven built, not just an airplane, a way in, because here's what he understood that a lot of manufacturers never did. The airplane had to be buildable. It's one thing to draw a beautiful design, it's another thing entirely to draw one that a school teacher with ordinary tools and no engineering degree can actually finish in his garage and live to fly. Dick sweated those details. He'd redesign a part, not because it flew better, but because it built easier. He thought about the guy on his back under the fuselage with a rivet gun. He was that guy, and the airplanes kept coming. After the single-seat RV-3 came the RV-4. Now you've got two seats, one behind the other tandem, still that same total performance magic. Suddenly you could take somebody with you, your kid, your buddy, your spouse who'd been holding the bucking bar for 3 years, and by God deserved to sit in the thing. Then came the one that changed everything. The RV6 side by side, two seats next to each other, so you could fly with a friend and actually talk, actually share a sectional across your knees. And Vans did something with the six and the airplanes after it that quietly turned the whole home-built world upside down. They started selling kits, not just plans where you cut every piece of aluminum yourself from a flat sheet, and pray kits, with the hard parts already done. And then later what they called matched hole technology, where the holes were already punched in the parts and they lined up when you clicoed them together, so your wing came out straight, because the factory geometry built the straightness in for you. Now here's where it gets interesting. Because that sounds like a small thing. Pre-punched holes. Who cares? Listen, that one idea took home building from a dark art that maybe one builder in three ever finished, and turned it into something an ordinary determined person could actually complete. The completion rate went up. Way up. Garages all over this country and all over the world that had a half-finished dream gathering dust suddenly had airplanes rolling out of them. And they came here. They came to Oshkosh. Let me bring you back to the showgrounds, because this is where the story lives now. Walk out to the North 40, walk the home-built rows, and you're standing in Dick Van Grunsven's legacy made physical. There is a spot on these grounds has been for years, where the RV builders gather, they camp under their wings. There's a dinner, there's a formation arrival that people plan their whole summer around. Dozens of these airplanes coming in together in tight formation. That flat Lycoming bark, multiplied over and over across Whitman Field until the whole sky is talking. More than 11,000 of these airplanes have been finished and flown. 11,000. Let that sink in. There is no other kit airplane, no other home-built design in the entire history of aviation that comes anywhere close to that number. Not one. When people say the RV is the most successful home-built aircraft ever built, they're not being polite. They're reading the count off the ramp, and every single one of them was finished by a person. By hand in a garage, or a rented hangar, or a spare bedroom with the wing skins leaned up against the wall. Every one of them represents somebody's Saturday mornings for 3, 4, 5 years. Somebody's marriage that survived it or got stronger because of it. Somebody's kid who grew up thinking building an airplane was just a normal thing that families do. That's the part that gets me, standing out here looking at these rows. Because Dick Van Grunsven never set out to build an empire. Talk to the people who know him, and the word that comes up over and over is humble, quiet, an engineer who'd rather be at the drawing board or out flying than up on a stage. He kept his company out in Oregon, kept the focus on the airplane and the builder, and he let the results do the talking. He put his initials on the airplane almost by accident and spent the rest of his life a little embarrassed that everybody used them. But think about what those two letters really mean now. RV. They don't just mean an airplane. They mean a promise. Dick made and kept. That a working pilot, an ordinary person with ordinary means, could build a genuinely excellent airplane in the corner of their own garage and go fly it anywhere they pleased. Total performance, not just for the airplane. For the pilot. Now I'll be honest with you, and those of you who've heard me before know I get a little grumpy about the modern world sometimes. We live in an age where a lot of people would rather buy the finished thing, push a button, let the machine do the work. And there's a place for that, I suppose. But something in me stands out here in these home-built rows and feels the whole thing come back into balance. Because these airplanes cannot be bought finished. That's the law, and that's the point. The rule for these experimental airplanes, the amateur built rule, says the major portion of the airplane has to be built by an amateur for their own education and recreation. Education and recreation, read that again, the government wrote into the regulation itself, the idea that you build this thing to learn and to enjoy the learning. Dick Van Grunsven built his whole life's work inside that beautiful little loophole, and he handed it to the rest of us. So when you walk these rows this week, and you will if you're here, don't just look at the paint. Look at the rivet lines. Run your eye down a wing skin and see how straight and true it lies. And know that some school teacher or truck driver or retired dentist made that on their back with a bucking bar, listening for the taps from their partner on the other side of the aluminum. That's not a factory airplane. That's a human being's patience made solid enough to fly, and here's the last thing, and then I'll let you go get your bratwurst. Dick Van Grunsven proved something that I think aviation forgets at its peril. He proved that the future of flying isn't only in the boardrooms and the certification offices and the big glass cockpits, wonderful as some of that is. The future is also in the garage, in the ordinary person who decides against all common sense that they are going to build an airplane, and then does it, one rivet at a time.
Van gave that person a design worthy of the effort, and they gave him 11,000 airplanes and counting to prove he was right. That formation coming in over the field this week, all those RVs in tight, that flat Lycoming chorus rolling across Whitman, that's not a manufacturer's demo, that's a community. That's every garage in America answering back. And it started with one quiet man in Oregon who looked at a perfectly good little airplane and thought, this could be better. My thanks on today's story go to the good folks at Vans Aircraft and to the Experimental Aircraft Association, whose records and whose home-built heritage keep this story straight, and to the builders themselves who tell it best out on the rows. You can find us anytime at RadioHanger.com, but this week, if you're here, close the laptop and go walk the North 40. Say hello to somebody camped under their wing. Ask them how long the build took. Then settle in, because you're going to be there a while. This is Tail Dragger. Keep those rivet lines straight, and I'll see you out on the field.